And I will have what it says I can have.
Today,
I will hear the word of God.
I boldly declare
that my mind is alert.
My heart is receptive.
My ears are open.
And I better not go to sleep.
I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name,
amen.
Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. It's a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. It provides us with light, direction, and purpose. As we hear the word today, Father, I thank you for depositing a word that is a now word, a present word, a word that is needed, Father, for where we are in our lives. And I pray that no one will leave this place spiritually unfed. And so, Lord, I thank you that whatever the Holy Spirit has in mind for this service, thank you for using me as an oracle of God. And I declare that as we hear the word and as we receive the word, and most of all, as we activate the word, signs, miracles, and wonders will follow our lives in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody say,
amen,
amen, amen, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. If you need a copy of today's notes, please raise your hand and our ushers will give you a copy of those. We are in a new series called Big Faith. Everybody say Big Faith. Big Faith. In fact, let's give Pastor Polo a big hand clap for helping me out over the last 2 weeks. Didn't he do an amazing job? So the purpose of this Big Faith series that I'm doing is to teach you the principles, the protocol, the positions, and the promises that come by faith. Because for every prophecy, for every principle, and for every promise, there is going to be a faith process to come to pass, for it to come to pass. And so let me say this before we start, because there are those who have never heard the way I'm going to teach faith. You may have never heard that way, or you may not have heard it the way we teach it here at Word of Truth. So I need those of you who may have heard me teach on faith, I need you to make sure that you hear it in a way where you are patient with those who haven't heard it, because they need to get it just like you do. But then just remember this, faith comes by what, church? It comes by hearing. Faith does not come by remembering. So just because you've heard faith before doesn't mean your faith is active now. As a matter of fact, remembering is not it. How many ate last night? If you ate last night, let me see your hand. If you ate last night, all right. How many remember what you ate last night? Let me see your hand if you remember what you ate. All right, so let me ask you a question. Is remembering what you ate good enough for you today? Or are you going to eat again? Amen. So that's why faith does not come by remembering. It comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Amen. So what I want to do is jump right into it. The message title today is Faith is a Principle. And what I want to do, the goal of the message today is to show you that faith is a principle. It's not a feeling. It's not something that's inconsistent. It is a principle. And I'm going to show you that God not only requires us to live by faith, but it is possible to live by faith. Mark chapter 11, I'm only reading this story to give us a synopsis or a snapshot of how Jesus operated in faith when he was here. It says in Mark chapter 11 verse 12, I'm reading it in the King James Version. It says that on tomorrow, when they were come from Bethany, Jesus was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having some leaves, he came to see if there was anything on it. But when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said to the tree, let me ask you a question, do trees talk? Well, evidently they do, or Jesus wouldn't be answering the tree. He said, well, I don't believe trees talk. Well, I got a question for you, do bills talk? Because they sure be talking to you, don't they? Right. So if bills can talk, trees can talk. Well, in this situation, the Bible says Jesus answered the tree. He said to the tree, no man eat fruit of you hereafter forever. And then the Bible says his disciples heard it, which says that Jesus did not think this thought. He said it out loud. And not only did he say it loud enough, he said it loud enough for his disciples to hear him, because silent faith doesn't work. Look at your neighbor and say, you need to be talking. Amen. So now let's drop down to verse 20. And in the morning, as they passed by, the fig tree that they saw, it was dried up from the roots. Now, let me show you a couple of things. First of all, a 24-hour period went by. So as they were walking by this tree that Jesus answered was dried up. And I want you to notice where it was dried up from. It wasn't dried up from the fruits to the roots. It was dried up from the roots, which will eventually dry up the fruit. Which means that when you and I function in faith, faith don't just deal with the facts. It deals with the root of the problem. Amen. And once you kill something at the root, it don't come back. Amen. So it says in the morning, they saw the fig tree was dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, said to him, Master, behold, the fig tree which you cursed, it's withered away. Watch this now. And Jesus answering said unto them, question, did Jesus answer the tree? Yes. So when Jesus answered the tree and then he spoke to the tree, did he have what he said when he spoke to the tree? Yes. So now he's about to answer his disciples just like he answered the tree. Let's see what he says to them. And Jesus answered and said unto them, he says, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, he's talking to the disciples, that whosoever, now he's talking to whosoever. So he's not just talking to the disciples now, he's talking to whosoever. So just look at somebody and tell them, I'm a whosoever. Yeah. He says, whosoever, watch this, shall say to the mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he say shall come to pass. Watch this. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Notice it didn't say you shall have whatsoever you believe. He said you're going to have whatsoever you what? And that's why a lot of people don't have what they believe, because if you don't say it, you say what you believe. If I ask you your name, you don't give me some random person's name. Why? Because you believe what your name is, so you tell me what your name is. He said, therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you, you receive them, and you will have them. So my first encounter of faith, I got saved when I was 20 on the campus of Prairie View A&M University, right? Yes, PVites in the house, right? So I'll never forget, the College of Business was on the other side where the College of Engineering was. The engineering buildings way over here, College of Business way over here. And so I was taking some kind of elective, which caused me, because I was a College of Business student, it caused me to be in the engineering building. Now, that's a pretty far walk, especially if it's raining. So this particular day, it was raining cats and dogs, and I didn't have an umbrella. So I decided to exercise what Jesus said. He said, if you speak to a mountain, the mountain would move. I said, well, shoot, a mountain? This is just rain, so let's work this out. So I stood there at the door. I'm watching everybody else go out there and get wet. I'm not doing it. And so I say out loud, I know I look crazy. If somebody was watching me, they're probably going, what is going on with this guy? So I stood by the door and I said, in Jesus' name, I command this rain to stop. And to my amazement, church, it rained harder. Rained harder. It was raining cats and dogs, now it's raining dinosaurs. I'm like, oh my God, I shouldn't have said nothing. So it started raining harder. I was like, wow. So I was like, no, Jesus says, speak to the mountain, tell it to be removed, and if I don't doubt what I say, then I'm going to have what I say. I said, in Jesus' name, I said, stop raining. In fact, stop raining long enough for me to leave this building and get to the College of Business, and you can rain after I get in the building. And guess what? So it started, like, the rain lightened up, and then it started sprinkling, and then it started misting, and then the rain stopped. I was like, my faith is working, so I need to get up out of here. So I got out of that building, got on the other side of the College of Business. Soon as I got inside of the College of Business building, guess what happened? It started raining. So you know what? Everybody who was dry, they was dry on my faith. Everybody say, faith works. So here's what I want to do. I want to show you that faith is consistent. I'm going to show you that faith is constant, because so many people associate faith with feelings. The problem is, when you do that, your feelings fluctuate, but faith is consistent. So my first point, if you're following the notes, is faith is constant. Faith is constant. Because it would be a very difficult thing, church, to trust in something that's not consistent. Do you agree with that? The reason most people can trust in a bus showing up at a bus stop is because there's a bus schedule that has been published for the most part, and you already know what times that bus is going to be there. Watch this. Because now that bus has a schedule, you can trust or you can rely on when that bus is going to show up. In other words, the bus is consistent because it has a schedule. Well, faith is consistent, and if it wasn't, we wouldn't be able to live by it. So let's look now and see what makes faith reliable. Romans chapter 3, verse 27. I'm reading in the Amplified. It says, then what becomes of our boasting? Is it excluded? Is it entirely ruled out? Is it banished? If it is, on what principle? On the principle of good works? No. But on the principle of what, church? On the principle of faith. When you read the King James Version, it says by the law of faith. So I'm going to use the word law and I'm going to use the word principle interchangeably. Now, both of them pretty much means the same. These are constant laws that are taking place. See, just like the law of gravity says what goes up, it comes down. That's going to work in California. It's going to work in Austin. It's going to work anywhere. Why? Because it's a principle. Everybody say faith is a principle. And because faith is a law, or because it's a principle, it is always ready to be used. Back a couple of years ago, when Texas had this big freeze in February, I don't know if y'all remember that, and the power shut down. So Oncor is one of the suppliers, and they give the power to these other small companies who give us the power. But Oncor couldn't give the small companies power for us to have power because the grid where Oncor was getting its power was shut down. Well, see, God ain't like the grid. God ain't gonna never shut down. You know why? Because he's always there. He's a present help. He never runs out of power. And because God never shuts down and he never runs out of power, he expects us to live by faith. That's why Hebrews 10:38 says, now the just shall live by faith. Everybody say, you got to live by faith. See, some of us have made faith a life jacket and not a lifestyle. No, it's not. Yeah, it can be a life jacket, but you need to make it a lifestyle. He says, now the just shall live by faith. He says, but if any man draws back from what? If any person draws back from living by faith, listen to what God says. My soul will not be pleased with them. All believers have the ability to please God by faith. And here is why. Because he's put faith on the inside of every believer. As a matter of fact, not only did he put faith inside of us, he gave everybody the same amount of faith. Romans chapter 12, verse 3 says, for by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to, watch this, the measure of faith that God has assigned. So God assigned everybody the measure of faith. He didn't say, well, I like this person more. I'm going to give them this much, and I'm going to give this person this much. No, he gave everybody the same amount when you got born again. You got the measure, you got the measure, you got the measure, you got the measure. So watch this. Now we have no excuse to be able to live by faith because he's put it on the inside of us for us to be able to do that. Say amen to that. But here's the problem that I've discovered. Most believers haven't used their faith since salvation. See, you had to use your faith to get saved. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8 says this. It's by grace are you saved. Watch this though. But it's through faith. And then it says, and that's not of yourself. What's not of yourself? That faith that God has given, that's not of yourself. That faith is a gift from God. Here's the problem. You and I choose to decide if we're going to use the gift or not. And the problem is most believers haven't used their faith since salvation. And that's why their life looks like a regular life. That's why their life looks like a normal life. But see, our lives should not look normal. Our lives should not look like people in the world. People in the world ought to look at us and be like, man, what is going on with them? What God do they serve? So what I want to do, because the average believer's faith, believe it or not, because you have it, it's dormant. It's sleep. And in some cases, it's dead. So what I want to do quickly is just list some faith positions. And I want you to find yourself, because as I list these, you're going to be like, that's me. That's me. Oh, that's not me right there. So what I'm going to do is list these faith positions so you can find out where you are. Here's the first faith position, and that is dead faith. Now, this is faith that has not been used in so long that it's in a dead state. You say, well, how can it be in a dead state? Well, the scripture says faith without works is what? So what that means is this person's faith is dead because they have not acted on their faith. And the only way to wake up dead faith is with the water of the word. That's why the word of God is so important. It will wake up dead faith. Everybody say dead faith. Here's the second position. Dormant faith. That's sleeping faith. That's where faith, it was used probably to reach a goal or to reach a new level. And the problem is when that person reached that goal, when they got that house or whatever they got that job, listen, they have allowed comfort to put their faith to sleep. And this is why, church, the next level for something can't be the only reason why we use our faith. Because my question is, what happens when you reach that level? What are you going to do with your faith now? You're going to put it to sleep. Well, I'm good now. The problem is, if you're good and you can't help somebody else be good, you ain't good. Because if we're gonna function in the blessings of Abraham, the Bible says God told Abraham, I'm going to bless you, Abraham, so you can be a blessing. Amen. So most people allow comfort to cancel their call because instead of using their faith to please God, they only use their faith to get stuff. Then you got drifting faith. Everybody say drifting faith. Then you say, well, what is that? That's when we decide or we can't decide to believe or gonna believe. The Bible calls it wavering faith. These are people who slip and slide. Y'all seen those slip and slides growing up? You seen the commercial slip and slide? Yeah, yeah. Those are people who are spiritually drunk. They stagger. How many have drunk some liquor before? Let me see your hand. Liquor drinkers? Yeah, yeah. See, it takes less liquor to get drunk than it does drinking some beer. See, you might have to drink a couple of beers to get a buzz. You ain't gotta drink a couple of, you get a shot of liquor and you buzzing. Once you're buzzing, you're staggering if you get to the drunk stage. Well, this is when believers cannot make up their mind what they want to do. James chapter 1 verse 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who will give it to all men freely and upbraid not, meaning that he's not going to yell at you for asking him for it. And then it says, and it shall be given. But then it says, what's the first word in verse 6, church? But look at your neighbor and say, get your butt out the way. Go on and tell him, get your butt out the way. He says, but if you're going to ask God for some wisdom, church, he says you need to ask in faith, not wavering, for he who wavers is like the wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. He says, if you're going to ask that way, let not that man think he's going to receive anything from the Lord. In fact, the Bible calls a drifting person with faith, or a wavering person with faith, it calls it a double-minded person. Verse 8, a double-minded man is unstable. And we have a lot of drifting faith Christians. Then you got what I call decision faith. That's what Pastor Polo talked about last week. Faith is a decision. And this is when we're faced with a situation that we can either view as an obstacle or we can view as a faith opportunity. See, if there's something in your life that you're facing right now that you're not fond of, maybe God has given you an opportunity to use your faith to let him work that out in your life. You know, it's funny because it seems like I have not had a lot of Saturdays to myself. I'm doing something. I'm this Saturday, I'm doing this. Leadership training over here. And this and this. And so I was like, man, I ain't had Saturdays do nothing. The Lord said to me, Evan, so you complaining about growing? Is that what you're doing? Everybody say decision faith. And this is where we must decide, listen, if we're going to go the way of the flesh, if we're going to go the way of fear, or if we're going to go the way of faith. Then you have declaring faith. This one's interesting because this is when you have to say it before you see it. You say, well, I don't know. Listen, God said it and saw it. If we're going to function in the faith that God has, we have to say it so we can see it. That's why in Genesis 1, it says, God said, let there be light. What did he see? He saw light. We have to be like God. The Bible says God calls those things that be not as though they were. See, there's certain things, if you're going to see it by faith, you got to say it before you see it. That's what the woman with the issue of blood did in Matthew chapter 9, verse 20. The Bible says, for she said, she came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. And then verse 21 says, for she said within herself, if I may just touch his garment, I will be whole. She was talking to herself. She declared it before she received it. Then you have demonstrative faith. This is when it's time to either put up or shut up. You know people who always talking and they ain't never walking? Those kind of, touch your neighbor and say, which one are you? Go on and ask them. No, demonstrative faith is when you step out and you obey God. It's like when it was time, you know, people say, are y'all still in that building? Y'all still in that school? How many of y'all friends said that to y'all? You know, we was in a school for a long time, and people would come up, and when they see me, they say, hey, Pastor Evan, y'all still in that school? You know, sometimes people talking to you, they trying to hurt you. But see, I was letting them know. No, no, no. See, I'm not ruled or moved by what I see, because I'm ruled by faith. And faith says the building's there even though you don't see it. Demonstrative faith. Then you have duplicate faith or duplicated faith. And this is when you and I follow someone as a faith leader because they have learned to use their faith to possess the promises of God. See, I love that because Hebrews 6:12 tells us, don't be slothful. He says, but followers, follow who? Those who through faith and those who through their patience, those are the ones who have inherited the promises. The problem is we're following people with reels and Instagram posts and they ain't got no faith receipts. They just got faith stories. They have no receipt. They're sitting up there on a podcast and you're listening to them. But listen, they have no faith receipts in their life. Yeah. He said, follow those who through their faith and patience receive the promise. And that's why I'm qualified. Because you're sitting in a faith receipt right now. Glory be to God. And then you have delayed faith. I need to hurry up. Delayed faith. And this is where we have to utilize our patience to wait for God to do his part after we've done our part. You know what scripture says, after done all the stand? Well, delayed faith says, I got to patiently wait for God to do what he does. And Hebrews 6:12 talks about that as well. It said, don't be slothful, but followers of those, watch this, who through faith and patience, because some things take some time. See, when you get to the point where you understand faith, see, when I'm walking by faith, sometimes if you don't make time your friend, time's going to be your enemy. See, patience is my friend. Because while God's working it out, I know he's doing something even though I can't see it. He's working on something. He's working on somebody. Everybody say delayed faith. Listen, delays always work in your favor. And then you have displayed faith. You say, well, what is that? That's when your life displays your faith receipts. This is the manifestation of what you've been believing God for. These are the things that now you prayed for, you stood in faith for, and now people can see it. And now it's time for God to update your testimony resume. See, some of y'all's resume need to be updated because it's old. Now, Pastor Polo said something last week. He said, faith is not a feeling. So here's a take-home statement. Faith is constant, but feelings fluctuate. You can't walk by feelings and faith at the same time. It doesn't work. Why? Because your feelings involve your five senses. For we walk by faith and not by... Okay, so feelings, all of your senses, what you see, what you hear, what you touch, what you smell, what you taste, those can't be things that dictate your faith. Why? Because those things fluctuate. Faith is consistent. Now, last week I was out because I went to a funeral in Jamaica. Bishop Philemon Samuels, who actually preached here last July, passed away suddenly. Actually, he was scheduled to preach this July. And so... First Lady and I had dinner with him and his wife on Christmas Day 2024. And then a month and a half later, I get a text and his wife, he passed away. Well, we're in Jamaica for the funeral. And this hotel we stayed in had multiple swimming pools. So the swimming pool that Cherise decided to use was far away from my room. So she had got to the pool before me. So it's time for me to go to the pool. And I didn't want to walk because it was too far. So I decided to, you know, they had golf carts. You know, if you want to, they'll take you on the golf cart. And they will take you to wherever you're going. So I hitched a ride on the golf cart. And while we're driving, the guy says to me, the bellhop says, well, how's your day going? Now, mind you, we're in Jamaica. It's 84 degrees. It's sunny outside with no clouds. And there's a nice breeze around 22 miles an hour. I said to him, it's an amazing day. I said, how can a day like this be anything different? And this guy said to me, well, you can get a phone call with some bad news and that can change your day. I said, well, no. I said, if you walk by feelings, it can change your day. I said, because listen, you mean to tell me that a bad phone call changed the temperature from being 84 degrees? You mean to tell me that bad phone call caused the sun not to be out? You mean to tell me that phone call stopped the wind from blowing? No, it didn't. But you know what? The only reason I would change my mind from it being the day it was to what he's talking about is if I allow my feelings to dictate how my day was. Say amen to that. Amen. Amen. Everybody say faith. Faith is constant, but feelings fluctuate. So let's go to point number two. Point number two is faith has protocol. He said, what do you mean by that? The Bible says God does everything decently and in order. God is a God of protocol, and if he is, and he is, then that means faith has protocol to it. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because where there is no word, there can't be no faith. I'm going to say that again. Where there is no word, there can't be no faith. Let me say it like this. There is no faith where there is no word. You can't have faith for what God has not said. And many people have faith for stuff God ain't said. That's not faith. That's foolishness. See, God is going to use his word to initiate faith to take place so you can believe that. See, I don't make major decisions because of how I feel. Because your feelings are going to fluctuate. I make major decisions based on what the Word of God says. And I don't make it based on what somebody else gave me a word on. Because they could have had bad pizza that night. Heaven and earth is going to pass away, but the Word, it ain't going to pass away. And so every major decision I've made, God has given me a promise in His Word, in the Word of God. This is why it's so important for you to get in the Word. Say amen to that. Amen. And so God has protocol, and the main protocol when it comes to faith is you cannot have faith for what God has not said. Amen. Faith, listen to this. This is good. Faith starts when the word is received, but faith is deposited when the word is conceived. He said, what do you mean by that? Okay, think about this. Let's say I wrote you a check for $500. You have received the check. But that check is not going to benefit you until you deposit the check. So you can receive the check and walk around with it all day. But it's not until you deposit that check that that check's going to work for you. Well, guess what? When we hear the word is received. But when faith is deposited, it's when the word is conceived. See, you got to get pregnant with the word before the word will work for you. See, I may not look like it, but I'm pregnant right now. Yeah. See, when it comes to faith, I don't use contraceptives. No. Some of y'all are wearing protection, so the word can't help you. You say, well, what do you mean by that? See, unforgiveness causes faith not to work. Contraceptive. Jesus said, oh, no. If you keep reading Matthew, Mark chapter 11, he says, and if you have ought, forgive if you have ought against any. Why? Because forgiveness is a contraceptive to faith. Offense. Some of y'all offended. That's why your faith ain't working. Amen. See, you cannot walk by what you don't know. Amen. So there are five forerunners of faith. These are things, if somebody said to me, Pastor Evan, I'm in faith for a car, then I'm going to ask them, has God done one of these five things? Because if one of these five things is not showing up, you can't tell me you're in faith. So what are these five things? Well, here's the first one, is if you're in faith for something, God is going to provide you a plan of action. What is a plan of action? This is when God will give you a plan on what to do about something. So just like God gave a plan of action for Joshua to take over the city of Jericho. If you go back and read it, it talked about them marching around the city one time, and then marching around the building seven times. And then at the end, people had to be quiet. And then after the seventh time, they blew a trumpet and then they began to shout. That's a plan of action. Everybody say a plan of action. That's a plan of action. And if you're going to trust God and believe Him in faith for something, you can expect a plan of action. Here's number two, wisdom of God. If you are in faith for something, that means you're expecting God to deposit some wisdom. Now, this wisdom is natural or supernatural, and it's supernatural insight or instructions on what to do in a situation. So I'm going to give you a Bible example. Is when Moses left Egypt, the army was behind them, the Red Sea was in front of them, wisdom came because Moses was like, God, what do you want me to do? And God said, well, what's in your hand? He said, a rod is. He says, take that rod, and I want you to use it to part the sea. That was wisdom. Everybody say wisdom. And there are going to be times when you're walking by faith. You cannot afford to move unless you have some wisdom from God. Say amen to that. Then you got favor from God. Or favor of God. And this is when God will lay on the hearts of others to use their power, their ability, their influence, and their resources to be a blessing to you. And sometimes the favor of God is going to be needed because favor can take you places money can't go. And sometimes there are going to be situations where you're going to need the favor of God. And then number four is a miracle. Because sometimes no plan of action, no wisdom from God, no favor from God, but you need a miracle. And this is a supernatural power that overrides the norm and overrides natural laws. Now, I believe in miracles. And you know what? I believe that if I need a miracle, God will give it to me. But until a miracle shows up, I'm going to wait for these other things to happen. Years ago when I was single, I was living in Ohio, and my parents had my extra spare keys at their house. So I had one pair of keys in Ohio, and I was living with this lady named Miss Johnson. And so I accidentally locked my keys in my Nova. I didn't have any spare keys. And back then, this is before Jimmy's and all that stuff was, you know, had been invented. And you know, when you live in the hood, you don't just keep the knob of the, you know, the door that you unlock. You don't just keep the knob on there. You break the knob off. That keeps people from taking a coat hanger trying to pull it up. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about, do you? So I had broke the knobs off my car and everything. I'm like, no, ain't nobody breaking in. Well, I couldn't get in my own car. So I'm like, Lord, I had a meeting to go to God. What am I going to do? And so God gave, watch this now. Because see, God won't give you what you won't ask him for. So I asked him, I said, Lord, what am I going to do? I need to get in this car. He says, go in the house and get Miss Johnson's car keys. I'm like, for what? He says, so you can get in your car. I said, but they her keys. He says, are you going to listen to what? So I wrestled like that. I was like, okay, so if I go in there and ask her for her keys, she's going to be like, well, what you need my keys for? Then what am I going to say to her? Because see, Ms. Johnson drove a station wagon. I drove a Nova. Now, they both were Chevys. But she had that station wagon with the wood on it. When I used to ride with her, I'd be slitting way down off in the seat. I didn't want nobody to see me in that car. So anyway, I got the boldness. I went in there. I said, Ms. Johnson, can I see your key? She was like, sure, Edmund. She gives me the keys. I go outside. Now, back in the day, the ignition key was square. The trunk key was what? Round. Some of y'all are older, but yeah. So I'm thinking, I'm just going to take the round key, stick it in my door, and maybe it was going to work. I did it, and it didn't work. I'm like, Lord, why you got me out here looking crazy? Because she going to ask me, I'm going to take her keys back. What'd you need them for? He was like, no. Take her ignition key and open your trunk with it. I'm like, is that going to work? So I took her ignition key and I stuck it in my trunk and I turned it, click, my trunk opened. It was amazing. So I pushed my back seat back, got the key, unlocked the door. And I was ready to go because, first of all, I'm in amazement. That's a miracle right there. I'm like, wow, how did that happen? And then I was like, I wonder will that work again. So I closed the door. I didn't lock it this time, though. I closed it, and I took that same trunk and that same square key and tried to open it. Guess what? It wouldn't open because God don't need to do miracles for your amazement. Everybody say a miracle. Then number five is strength to endure until change comes. If you're in faith, sometimes God is just going to give you some strength to last it out. After you've done all the staying, what? Stand. See, and when you're standing in faith, your strength should not get weak. Your strength should get stronger because the Bible says they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They should mount up with wings as eagles. They should run and not get weary. They should walk in their faith. And so those five things are something that we're looking for. And so when I was praying, the Lord put on my heart to pray for some people who need or who's in the middle of buying a house. You thinking about buying one, or you in the middle of buying one, and you're ready to buy a house, and so I want to pray for you. And here's why. Because I watched God give me a plan of action when I bought my last, I don't know, I think it was house number four. It's not the one I'm in now, house number four. And the Lord had prompted me to move. It's a whole lot in this that I ain't got time. You can watch the first service and hear the details on it. But here it was. The Lord wanted me to move. I didn't necessarily want to move, but he wanted me to move. And at that time, the house we was in, that's the house that we was in to start the church. So it was a church office. All the people, you know, we did praise and worship practice there. We did true group training there. Everything was in that house. So everybody had code, because it was a gated community, everybody had the code to get in. Yeah. You know, they in and out, in and out. So, you know, sometimes people would show up and they weren't supposed to. So long story short, the Lord told me to move. So he's like, you need to put your house up for sale. Now, there was a house across the street that was just like my house, except for the floor plan was flipped. They had a pool and everything just like I did. I said, God, that house over there been on the market for a long time to the point where that house over there, it done went into foreclosure. People couldn't, they couldn't hold on. I said, that house ain't sold. What makes you think? And I was putting my house up for sale more than that house. He said, they haven't put the house up for sale. Put the house up for sale. It sold so fast, we didn't have nowhere to go. So we found the house that we wanted to buy. So, you know, we had to put down 10%. Well, I had 10%. It was a lot, but I had it, right? So we put down the 10%. Well, long story short, we moved into a hotel. And so we're waiting on our mortgage company to finish the paperwork. Well, I get a call from the mortgage guy that I was using. I get a call from his manager. He was like, hey, so-and-so, this is about Mr. Connor. Yeah, I was like, he's like, is so-and-so your mortgage person? I was like, yeah. He said, well, he died. I said, what? He died. Like Jesus, he died? The dude died. And he died with all of our files and paperwork locked in his computer. We had to start all over again. Now, by the time this whole process started working, the market had switched, and now for the house that we were buying, we couldn't do it for 10% down now. We needed to have 20%. Well, I barely gave him the 10%. Now they asked me for 20%. That's like tithing twice. Who wants to do that? I was like, Lord, now I'm getting upset with the Lord. I'm like, Lord, you got me out here. You told me to sell my house. Now we ain't got nowhere to go, and now we need 20% down. You know I didn't have that 20%. And so I'm going off, and so finally I'm just getting frustrated. And so I went to go hear my pastor preach, you know, because see, when you start feeling like that, when you in the funk, you need to hear the word. So I started listening to the word, and encouragement came. So I'm like, okay. Get out of my feelings, because I told you, if you're going to walk in faith, you got to divorce how you feel. Get out of your feelings, Evan. Got out of my feelings, got back in faith. I said, okay, Lord, you already knew the markets was going to change. You already knew my house was going to sell fast. You already knew they was going to change the percent down. I say, so what you going to do? Tell me what you need me to do. And so God dropped and downloaded a person's name. Only one person. I didn't go through no Rolodex saying, let me call this person. No. He gave me a person's name and said, this person will give you the other 10%. I'm like, what? He said, call them. They'll give it to you. I didn't want to call them because I didn't want rejection. So I said, let me text them. I still got the text message too. So everybody say, that's a faith receipt. I texted him. I said, hey, this is what's happening. I can do it as a loan, and we can do the paperwork and all that kind of stuff. And it was a lot of money, y'all. I mean, a lot of money. This person came back and said, oh, no problem. I'll take care of it. You want cash? Do you want it today? Do you want me to wire? Do you want a check? You want a cashier's check? I was like, what? Long story short, we were able to close on that house. Watch this. Because while I was in faith for the house, God gave me a plan of action. And so if you're trying to believe God for a house, I want you to stand up. Because I want to pray for you right now. Stand up right there. You ain't got to come down here. If you're in the middle of buying a house, needing to buy a house, wanting to buy a house. Now see, let me show you how faith works. I'm going to wait for everybody to stand up. Everybody up? Okay. So watch this now. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. There's somebody that didn't stand up. You want to buy a house. You didn't stand up. You know why you didn't stand up? Because your mind told you your credit is not in position to stand up. Well, what is the point of faith? So, I don't know who you are. You didn't stand up, but you need to stand up. It ain't got nothing to do with your credit. You say, well, I ain't never known nobody. You know, you don't know. Let me give you a simple. Somebody could say, you know what, I tell you what. Why don't we let you lease this house for 24 months? And if you make on-time payments, we will, finance it for you? We will own or finance the house for you. See, that right there, that resolves that. So you can't let your situations dictate if you're going to walk in faith. Oh, so are y'all ready? That's a lot of people. Are y'all ready? So lesson 3, I'm going to show you the difference between faith and foolishness. Because some of y'all are looking for a $1.5 million house and you staying in an apartment right now. No. I'm going to show you the difference. So are y'all ready? Let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, you wanted me to pray for those who were in the process and desires to having a house. And there are some even watching right now who need a house. And so, Lord, right now, I set myself in agreement with them. And, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name for these five things to show up in their life. Whether it's one of them, three of them, or five of them, God, I thank you for downloading in their life a plan of action, giving them some wisdom, showing them some favor, giving them, Father, strength till and doing to change comes. But, Father, if they need a miracle just like you did it for me, you can do it for them. So, Lord, I release agreement. And, Lord, I thank you that before the end of the year, they will be in their new home. And we give you the glory and we give you the praise. And we thank you now for providing them anything that they need to make this process comes to pass in Jesus' name. So I want you to just thank him right now like it's already done. Go on ahead and just thank him right now. Because see, the Bible says, let the people praise you, oh God. Let all the people praise you. Then the earth will release its increase. Go on and praise him as if the earth has released your house. Glory be to God. All right.